But anyway, open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. This morning we were preaching about finding purpose in life. Tonight I preached on this before in a different direction, but tonight I want to use it when Jesus comes into your life and some things that happens and things that we take place. Those of you who are young and saved, some of you I know when you first get saved, a lot of times there's a lot of questions, and maybe some of you are at a point of being saved. I'd like for you to listen to this, if you would. Let's begin reading, if you would, in chapter 5, in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned to their partners, which were on the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us. Lord, give us a truth or two that we may gather out here to better understand our salvation. And Heavenly Father, we pray if there be one here tonight without salvation, they would be drawn and they would come to Jesus and they'd find salvation before it's everlasting too late. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. Thank you that there's only one that can provide it. And Lord, we pray that we would come to him. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. First of all, let me say this. You find here Jesus entering to the ship. Two ships. One is Simon's. We know as Peter later on. As a matter of fact, in this chapter, in verse number 8, is the first time that Luke refers to him as Peter. He always calls him Simon up to this point. Now, Jesus had just done something previously in chapter 4. He had healed the mother-in-law of Simon, and he went into her house. And now he come, and Simon and them had been fishing all night, him and James and John. They had not caught any fish, and so they were sitting there cleaning their nets, disappointed, wore out, and Jesus comes in to their lives. Now, let me say something a moment. When Jesus enters into your life, situations changes in your life. You say, Brother Billy, I've just been a failure. The wonderful thing about the Lord is this. You could be a failure. When he comes in, he changes things. And no one's beyond salvation with the Lord. No one's beyond him changing their life. I've heard people say, well, so-and-so, they're hopeless. No one's hopeless with the Lord. Amen. Peter and them had been failures all night long. They didn't see. They were cleaning their nets, disappointed, wore out. But yet Jesus comes into their life and tells them, he gets on the ship, he begins to teach, and then he tells them to launch out and cast their nets. Amen. Now imagine how they felt. They'd cleaned their nets, and it wasn't no easy task to clean the nets. They'd fished all night long, they was wore out, And so they were tired, and they had no fish to show for it. Now, this was important. That's how they paid the bills. And here they were empty-handed. And they would have to go home, empty-handed, not able to pay bills. And Jesus wants them to go out. Now, they didn't have to obey his voice, but they did. Sometimes I wonder what made them, but it may have been the fact that he not only had known Jesus, and he had known of Jesus, and he listened to his teachings there, but he also saw that he'd come into his house and healed his mother-in-law. And so he knew what he was capable of doing. And so when Jesus told him to cast out, instead of him arguing, saying, we're fishermen, we know what we're doing, and bickering, he obeyed. Now listen to me. When Jesus comes to you and he speaks to you, he will not make you obey him. But what you have to do is have enough confidence in Jesus to believe that he can change things in your life. And so when he comes, you've got to understand, because you all have heard enough about Jesus. I don't see anybody here that hasn't heard message after message preached about Jesus. You've been taught, you hear songs sung, you know who he is, and you've heard enough about him and what he can do. You've seen times when we've stood up and give testimony about how he came in our life at some given time and saved us. Many times different ones will stand up and give a testimony sometimes about where they were saved and where they met Jesus. You can meet Jesus the same way. But when he comes into your life, you've got to have enough confidence in him that you obey his voice. As I preached the other day, everybody at some given time he calls. He speaks to your heart. You may not hear it audibly, but you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. You feel the draw to come. When he speaks to you, he won't drag you down the aisle. He won't make you do it. You've got to be willing to obey his voice. And you have to have enough confidence in him to obey it. Not only that, but look on if you would, and notice that when they did obey, they caught so much fish that the net began to break. They called their partners over there. They filled their ship up. They filled their own ship up. And the boats begin to sink before they get back to shore. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus comes in your life, good things happen. Things change. You say, preacher, I sure did fail in some things in my life. Can I let you in on a little secret? Every one of us has. We've all been miserable failures at certain times. I don't know of a person here that could stand up and brag upon themselves. We have one to brag on. That's Jesus. Amen. And so here we find that Jesus came in, and all of a sudden he not only transformed the situation of their life, he transformed their life. Again, look in verse number 8. The Bible says, when Simon Peter, again, the first time it refers to Peter. And what did Peter do? He fell at the feet of Jesus. Now, he saw the miracle, and so when Simon seen it, he knew something was happening. And so what happened was, the Bible says that he fell and he humbled himself. Now listen to me very carefully. Somebody said, preacher, what do I have to do to be saved? Now I don't want you to misinterpret this, but I'm just going to say it because this is what I believe. I don't believe that we ought to give you confidence in sinners' prayers. By that I mean, I don't think that you ought to learn that you have to repeat after me to be saved. I believe that there are some things that takes place that you have to do to be saved. One is, we just pointed out, you have to have confidence in who Jesus is. Now, what he's asking you to do, when he bids you to come, you might not understand how in the world he could save you. How he could take an old sinner, and how that he could save your soul, and how he could take you to heaven, knowing that he's bidding you to come, and you feel the tug in your heart, and all you've got to give him is believing in what he said. You have nothing else to offer. There's nothing good in you. There's nothing good in any of us. And so what we do is, when we come, the first thing we have to do when we hear his voice, if we want our life changed, is we have to humble ourselves. He fell at the feet of Jesus. He fell and he got in a place where he recognized and he understood that he humbled himself. Can I say this? I've seen a lot of people walk this aisle. Boy, not many lately, I'll be honest with you. But over the years, those of you who've been here, we've seen hundreds walk the aisle. There's been a time or two along the way, I've seen somebody walk it, and I just knew in my heart they wasn't getting saved. They just wasn't humble in their approach to the Lord. They just seemed to have pride and arrogance. God doesn't save anybody there. Peter took the right position. If you want to be saved by the Lord, you got to come and fall at his feet. He'll not only change your situation of your life, he'll change your life. I'm like Brother Rick this morning. I believe a lot of people, instead of trying to change your situations, I believe they need to change your life, really, to be honest with you. I believe a lot of people needs a good dose of salvation. Not everybody that sits in your pews has salvation. But I tell you what, when you get it, it'll change. It'll change some things. So first of all, I want you to notice that we have to come and we have to get in the right position of coming to the Lord. The Bible says that God dwells in the high, lofty places of heaven and among the humble, contrite heart. When you humble yourself, God comes down to where you are. Until you humble yourself, he'll not come down to where you are. You have to humble yourself. And somebody say, well, preacher, I want the Lord to intervene in my situation. Well, you got to get humble. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. You got to get down. You got to get down to where God can come and meet with you. He doesn't meet with you on the stage of arrogance. He doesn't meet with us where you say, God, you owe me this. What you do is you come like Peter. You not only recognize who he is, you obey his voice, even though you don't understand how he can do what he's telling you he's going to do. Sometimes it even goes against our reason. Brother Rick was talking about eternal life this morning. It goes against our reason. But the fact of the matter is, we just have to believe what he tells us. We have to believe in his word. And so here he falls at the feet of Jesus. Not only that, but look on. In verse number 8, he says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am what? He was willing to confess who and what he was. Now listen, if you come to God and say, listen, I'm just as good as everybody else, or you come to God with attitude, well, I got something to offer God. I've seen even preachers do this. They have somebody come to their church, got a little talent, maybe with guitar or singing or something like that. And they'll try to persuade those people that God would be honored for them to do something, even before they get saved. That's a bunch of hogwash. You can't honor God with your gifts. You honor him with not only with your humility, you honor him with your confession. With the mouth, confession is made into what? Salvation. You don't get saved until you're willing to confess who and what you are. When you come to Jesus, you have to admit that you're a sinner. When I came, I was a sinner. Can I let you in on a little secret? Now I was a lost sinner. Now I'm a saved sinner. Does it make me proud? No. But folks, listen, if it was up to me to save myself, I've been lost over and over. When the Lord comes into you, the Bible says that he seals you until the day of redemption. Amen. That your body becomes a presence of the Lord. I'm not perfect. I fail. But I'll tell you this. I know that he that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. I know I got somebody in me. Because the day that Jesus entered in, he never left. He stayed. He made a difference. But what I had to do was I had to come and humble myself before him. And I also had to confess what I was. I was lost. Just a sinner. Not only that, but also, notice if you would, in verse number 8, he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He recognizes the holiness of Jesus. He recognized that Jesus was God, the Lord, the Son of God. He recognized that he was in the presence of deity. In other words, he said, depart from me. He didn't want judgment, because you got to understand, Peter comes from the history of Jews that believes to come into the presence of God is to be judged. He didn't want to be judged because he was a sinner. And he had no right of coming in the presence of the Lord. But yet what he did was he said, depart from me. In other words, he thought that he was not worthy to be in the presence of the Lord. And you know, he was right. But he had to do this. He had to recognize the holiness of the Lord. Can I tell you this? God is not some man upstairs. He's not some genie in the bottle. He's not some Santa Claus. And God, if you want to be saved, you have to accept through God the Son, Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the one that went to Calvary. He was a Son of God, came down from heaven through a miraculous birth. He lived and he went upon this earth, and he went to the cross of Calvary to fulfill his destination, and he died upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. He was buried, he rose again the third day, and he ascended up to heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. Amen. That's Jesus. Amen. That's the gospel. Amen. If you're going to get saved, you're going to believe the gospel. And so therefore, you have to recognize, listen, you can't understand everything about Jesus, but I do believe you have to believe that he's the Son of God. I believe you got to recognize him as God, because only God has the ability to save souls. Listen, I've had some people come, and I've told you this story before. I'll never forget some guy from Antioch Shores, Brother Jim. He was someone that dealt in a bunch of drugs out there and so forth. And he come one Sunday, and man, he smelled. I got within five pews of him, and couldn't hardly hold my, I had to hold my breath, get close to him. But he come down the aisle that morning. We had someone saved, and he come down as we were shaking hands with the person that got saved. And when he passed by me, he shook my hand. He said, I need you to save me. I thought he meant that he wanted to get saved. I said, what? He said, I need you to save me. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the demon said that if I'd come here today, you'd save me. And I said, I thought, what is he talking about? Let's back off a minute. And I told him, I said, just wait till everybody leaves. Let's talk. And so I began to talk to him. But I told him, I said, buddy, you need to understand something. I don't have it within my means to save anybody. There's only one that can save. Amen. And until you recognize him and come humbly before him, I can't help your problem. Because whenever I've talked to him about humbling himself and coming to Jesus, he wanted no part of it. He just kept telling me, the demons told me that if I'd come, you will save me. I said, well, that's what demons do. They'll lie to you. Because I can't save you. I said, I know one that can. Amen. But you have to recognize him as Lord. And so here, if you notice, that Peter, he asked him to depart because of that. Because he recognized his unworthiness. And can I tell you something? None of us are worthy to be saved. It's by the grace of God. Somebody said, well, I don't understand why the Lord came in my life, because that's what the Lord does. That morning, Peter probably didn't realize that the Lord's going to come into his life. Come into his ship, sat on ship, took him out there, and he come into his life. His name was Simon, and then here we find him called Peter in verse number 8. Whenever he comes and he recognizes Jesus for what he is, and he gets in a position where he recognizes who he is and who Jesus is, then for the first time, Luke calls him Simon Peter. Later on, Jesus will refer to him as Peter and rename him Peter. Now, also notice this, that Peter is afraid of judgment. He's afraid of punishment. And that's understandable. Now, listen to me. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm afraid I came for the wrong reason. I was afraid of dying and going to hell. That's why I came to the Lord. Can I tell you a story? That's why I came too, part of the reason.
That's right.
I came because the Holy Spirit of God convicted me of my sins. I felt convicted just like Peter did. I was standing in the presence of God and God was speaking to me. And I recognized that I was in the presence of deity. I recognized I was a sinner and I was unworthy. I recognized that he could save me. And I recognized that if I died in my sins, I would surely go to hell. I was scared. I was scared what would happen if I died in my sins. I believed there was a hell. I believed that if I died without Christ, that's where I would go. So that morning, when he came, he spoke to me. I'll never forget that day. And you know, you say, well, preacher, how can we avoid punishment? Well, we can avoid it because of who Jesus is. You see, Peter didn't understand it because Peter, if you notice, Jesus told Peter, he said, be not afraid. Why could he tell Peter not to be afraid? Because he knew that it'd just be a matter of a few years and he'd be going to the cross of Calvary. He'd be dying and some way, somehow, God figured up a salvation that he could take our punishment and pour his wrath out upon his son for all those who believe upon him. Instead of pouring out upon me, Jesus took my wrath.
Amen.
I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid coming to Jesus. I don't have to be afraid to come to the Lord. That's why the Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't have to be like the Israelites used to be. I don't have to be scared to death sitting out here, afraid when I enter into the Holy of Holies, what will happen if the high priest enters in there. I don't have to worry about that. My high priest says, come boldly to me. I don't have to fear the judgment of God. Jesus took my judgment. And so therefore I can come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. I can cry Abba Father because I have a different relationship than what they have. Notice as well, if you will, that he changed. Look in verse 5. And Simon answering and said unto him what? Master. Notice in verse 8 what he called him. Lord. Now listen to me, especially you young people, listen. When Jesus comes into your life, there's no way you're going to know everything there is about Jesus. There are going to be a lot of things you don't understand about Jesus. But you recognize the fact that he is the one that can save you. He's the Son of God. But what will happen is this. As he is present with you, you will learn more and more about him. You will come to understand some things. There'll be some things that you'll never understand. Salvation is beyond the ability of man to completely figure out because it's that great of salvation. The Bible says it's unspeakable words that Paul heard in heaven. And God's way, his ways are so much higher than our ways, and his thoughts so much higher than our thoughts. There's no way that we can comprehend. And somebody said, well, I've got it all figured out. No, you don't. You can't go there. You can learn more and more, but you'll never get it all figured out on this side. And young people, listen, if you're waiting until you get it all figured out, you'll never get it figured out. But I can tell you this, when Jesus comes into your life, you'll gradually learn more and more about him. And first, when Peter met him, he's talking about Master. Now he's talking on Lord. He understands a little bit more about him. Now notice this. And the last thing I want you to see in this is this. There's a reason why he came. Not only for salvation, he wants to save you. Now listen to me. But this is what especially you young people don't understand sometimes. Some of you do. You all have the ability to reach people that some of the older ones don't have the ability to. If all the only purpose that God had for you is to save you, the moment we get saved, God just take us to heaven. Why would he leave us down here? But he told Peter, he said, I've got another purpose for you now. Now that I've came in your life, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm not going to make you fishers of fish anymore. I want to make you fishers of men. He had a purpose for Peter. And can I tell you this, in following up with the message I preached this morning, once you get saved, the second purpose of your life, not only to be saved, the second purpose is that you become fishers of men. You begin to help bring other people to Jesus. And that was going to be Peter's responsibility. Now let me say this too. Now listen to me very carefully. Some people said, well, I don't have the ability. Can I tell you something about Peter? Peter made a lot of messes even after this point. Peter, he was a little brass. He kind of jumped the gun several times. Even a few times, Jesus had to rebuke him openly in front of people. But you know, he come around. And can I tell you something? When we begin trying to do something for the Lord, we make a mess sometimes. We don't have all the answers. Sometimes we try to do something. I've got up and sung, and sometimes it's went well, and sometimes it's not gone well. I've got up and preached, and some messages go well, and some I've just walked away feeling like I made a mess out of. Sometimes I get up to teach, and sometimes that goes good, and sometimes I feel like, man, I've just made such a mess. My point is this. The Lord has a work for us, but he is patient with us. And we have to grow. We don't have all the answers. But I'll tell you this. When you go out earnestly trying to do something, he has a way of rewarding you for that. And the Bible says that him and James and John forsook all. They parked their boats and they forsook all and they followed him. Now the Lord doesn't ask everybody to give up everything. Not everybody goes in full time. But that's your purpose of life. He wants you saved and he wants you doing something for him. And you know what? If you work out there, say for instance, you work over there in a factory. People in factories lost too. You work over here in the hospital, people in the hospital's lost too. You work over here, a garbage truck, people on garbage trucks lost too. The idea is that we are to go out and we are to become instruments. Once Jesus has come into our life, he not only changes our whole situation, he changes our whole life. And he changes our whole direction of life. Can I ask you this tonight? Has he ever come into your life? Maybe tonight you're here and he's speaking to you. When you hear his voice, you say, preacher, I don't understand everything I need. Can I tell you what you need to do is just obey his voice. Peter and them didn't understand how they were going to get fish, putting the nets out. They knew where the fish was. They knew how to fish. But yet he told them to do something. They didn't understand why. You just got to trust him. Would you come to him trusting him tonight? Let's stand, if you would. Page 44. How about it tonight?